Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. I am really excited to welcome to the podcast an expert in regenerative medicine, Dr. Saranya Wiles. And today we're going to talk all about the curious things that are pushing the border of aesthetics, stem cells, exosomes, DNA, all kinds of things to improve our anti-aging and regenerative technology. So welcome to the podcast, Saranya.
Thank you, Dr. K. Excited to be here.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you studied neuroscience and art history, and then you did a research fellowship at the Harvard Stem Cell Institute in Cambridge. You've done so much biomedical research. Where did all that interest come from?
Yeah, so I grew up in India and I moved to the United States when I was 10 years old. My dad was a pathologist and my mom is a biochemist. So I was really rooted in learning about science from a very young age. I learned about wound healing at the dinner table and learned about the different concepts of how our body naturally heals after getting a cut. So these concepts have always fascinated me. So when I kind of started my college career, I learned more about stem cell therapy, and I learned about a key concept of induced pluripotent stem cells. A Japanese scientist won the Nobel Prize related to that, and so that took me to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute, where I used this particular technology and learned about how we can address the pancreatic regrowth and worked at Professor Doug Melton's lab there. So all of that led me to the Mayo Clinic, where I was learning more about how the patient needs of the patient comes first, and the clinical trials and the clinical practice that Mayo Clinic values. So that's led me to Mayo Clinic, where I did my MD PhD training and the dermatology residency. So now I'm a dermatologist here at Mayo Clinic, and I have a lab that studies skin aging, wound healing, and cellular senescence.
How amazing. Well, this is one of my new passions because I think I'm in aesthetics, but I feel like a lot of our field has focused on stopping wrinkles, crinkles, and filling lines, but not really addressing the root causes of aging and how to reverse cellular senescence and how to prolong health span versus lifespan. So, what is exactly regenerative medicine?
Yeah, regenerative medicine. To understand regenerative medicine, let's start with the word regeneration. So, regeneration is the idea of restoring form and function or regrowth. So, to me, it's like magic, and it dates back to the Greek mythology. So, humans have long been fascinated with the idea of regeneration, and you may have heard about a story of Prometheus in Greek mythology, where he stole fire from Zeus and was banished to punishment. The story goes that Zeus's eagle feasted on Prometheus's liver daily, and the organ would regenerate the next day. So the Greek word hepar actually means to repair or regenerate, and the liver is one of our highly regenerative organs. So, coming back to the idea of regenerative medicine, it's the goal to replace, repair, and restore form and function to these different tissues and organs, including skin. And there are a lot of different tools to do that. So that can range from stem cells to platelet-rich plasma to biopeptides, and the new kid on the block, which is exosomes.
Now, tell me a little bit about stem cells in terms of regenerative therapies, because the word stem cells is tossed around so liberally and so frequently that I worry that the general public will just start believing the use of the word stem cells. Like, what exactly is your definition of a pluripotent stem cell? And how can we kind of harvest some of the benefit of stem cells in topical or injectable therapy? That's a big question.
Exactly. So patients are now coming into our practice asking about stem cell therapies. They've heard about it in the news, on the radio. And to understand stem cells, it's really important to understand the two key properties that they hold. So they can self-renew and differentiate. So what does that mean? So self-renewal, if you were to take one single stem cell and put it into a dish, it can make more clones of itself and replicate itself. And differentiation is the idea that it can become different lineages. So it can become an endoderm, ectoderm, or mesoderm. So a pancreatic cell, a heart cell, or a nerve cell, or a skin cell. So it has a lot of potential, but it also comes with a lot of types. So the first question I always ask my patients is, what type of stem cell do you mean? And the source matters because stem cells can really vary by size source. It can come from umbilical cord bloods. It can come from your own self, your bone marrow, your adipose tissue also harbor stem cells. You can also have engineered stem cells. So that's taking your skin cells, turning back the clocks, and making them patient-specific stem cells or stem cells that are specific to you. And then there are embryonic stem cells too. So it's really important to have our patients understand the source and then to understand the potential of those stem cells to really break down what it can do for you.
Is there any form of credible assessment of stem cell therapies that are out there? Like, people will say that they're giving you stem cell therapy, but how does a consumer know with certainty and credibility that there has been, an assayed test of the efficacy of the product that they're getting and they're actually getting something with active abilities?
Yeah, so to do that, it's really important to look at the therapy that there's being offered and seeing if it's been validated, if it's been studied under a clinical trial, and if it's FDA approved. There is an organization called the International Society for Stem Cell Research, or ISSCR, and they actually have patient education materials and resources that patients can use to help them guide these different treatment options that are presented to them. So, if you hear about a practice that is offering stem cell therapy, you can take these list of printed questions like, what types of stem cells do you mean? Have you done an FDA regulated clinical trial for this type of stem cell? Where are these stem cells coming from? And what type of patients have had these stem cells? So, really being able to give them those questions to ask will help prepare them to undergo these treatments if it's validated.
It's very important. So what is that resource again that people can reach out to, and maybe we can even post that list of questions for patients to see.
Absolutely. It's called the International Society of Stem Cell Research. And in addition to that, Mayo Clinic actually offers a regenerative medicine consult service. So I'm happy to give you guys a link to that as well, where patients can call in and ask about different therapies nationally and worldwide. And we will be able to happy to give you a consult and a referral to see if that therapy is validated.
That's amazing. I know that you personally are on a push to create a regenerative medicine, like little teaching programs for residents or in dermatologists in training. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think educating the next generation of healthcare providers is going to be key as these new treatments are coming up about to the forefront. And how do we adopt these care to patients and clinic in a better, seamless manner? So one way that we've tried to do this is to build courses. So at Mayo Clinic, we have a different curriculums that range from the medical school. So the first year medical school curriculum spanning all the way to the fourth year prior to graduation. And then we have clinical electives in residency and fellowship as well that they take and learn more about how to address patient questions, how to learn about the regulatory process behind stem cell therapies and other regenerative therapies, and to really learn about high quality metrics for delivering regenerative care. So, in our minds, that's really important to train that next generation workforce and to train that next generation of physicians because they're going to be able to better address our patient concerns.
Amazing. And then in terms of exosomes, talk a little bit about your work with exosomes. And it's a completely sort of different molecule and approach than a stem cell. So what for the lay consumer is an exosome?
Yeah, so exosomes carry regenerative messages. So for the longest time, and when I was doing my PhD, we always thought that it was stem cells that had the regenerative key signals. But we later realized it's how they communicate with each other, and it's these messages that cells send to each other that hold the potential for regeneration. And we've been able to utilize this exosome technology, especially for topical application, holds a lot of promise for skin rejuvenation. And we partner closely with a company called Rheon to help us do that.
Amazing. And so stem cells, where we currently have some topical products that are they're supposedly having stem cell growth factors in them, where people harvest the supernatant of cells that are growing and take that supernatant and create sort of a stem cell broth that's infused into lotions and potions and creams. How effective do you think that those are?
Yeah, so it's really important to keep in mind that when you're talking about a stem cell product, that it's not necessarily the stem cells themselves, because stem cells are not off the shelf, they're not stable. So when you talk about the what they're secreting, these growth factors, they can really be re widely ranging, and they can include some exosome messages, but most of them can include just overall growth factors and peptides that can work at different levels. And it's really important to assess how effective these growth factors are and peptides are and in communicating these regenerative messages. And sometimes these off-the-shelf products, based on how they're manufactured, can actually be rendered inert or may not have that potential, the full potential that they promise to hold. So that's where in this field, because there's a lot of hype and hope, it's really important to balance that and to ask these questions about what are the studies that are being done using this technology, whether it's an off-the-shelf stem cell-based growth factor product or it's this new exosome technology that's coming through. How are the different studies being performed?
Yes, definitely. And like you said, how stable are the products? I see so many products advertised with plant stem cells for humans, and I just, I think that the science is not there, but the romance and the hype around stem cells makes people want to buy it. So
Yeah, exactly. So plant stem cells, they are, we know that the plant cell wall and the barriers will not be able to be an off-the-shelf product. So we don't think that they actually have the potential that they're advertising. So I am not a believer personally.
no plant stem cells for you. Let's talk a little bit about biohacking and the biohacking community. One of my worries is that the biohackers out there are going to take, scientific principles and run with them in a way that's not proven, and sort of like a very cowboy atmosphere of trying things and taking drugs to prolong lifespan. So I hear about biohackers doing intermittent fasting, which I think is a good one. Taking drugs and products that change their mTOR cellular function, and trying to do different things that improve lifespan, and maybe they're taking rapamycin, maybe they're taking metformin. Are there any drugs out there right now or medications that you think are proven in terms of improving longevity that we're ready to take? Otherwise, it's like these fringe guys that are on running podcasts talking about longevity, and they're experimenting on themselves, taking rapamycin and taking metformin.
Yeah, and so when we think about these concepts in aging, we're really talking about cellular senescence and how that plays into the idea of aging. And what is cellular senescence? So cellular senescence is a defense mechanism in response to damaging stimuli. So it's a hallmark of aging. It sort of accumulates with older age, and it reduces tissue functionality. And so if we look at these different ways of biohacking, they're trying to essentially clear out these senescent cells or zombie cells that accumulate with age. And to be honest, there are different factors that do tell us that it is helping. So things like mTOR mechanisms and pathways do play a role, and they do have senescence clearance, but the degrees of which these senolytics are clearing them are currently under trial. So we're very excited to be doing some of these trials at Mayo Clinic using oral senolytics as well. Things like fisetin, which is naturally found in strawberries, and we're trying to see if these can clear senescent cells and help with improving diseases, including degenerative kidney disease, and see if we can develop therapies like topical exosome products and seeing how they have a role in senescence cell clearance.
Well, I think that would be amazing. Are there any supplements or biohacking tricks that you're doing for yourself? Like, what do you do personally? Taking antioxidants, resveratrol? What are your ha biohacking habits?
Yeah, great question. I think I personally like the intermittent fasting option. So if I've listened, I follow the work of David Sinclair, and he's done a lot of great work on aging, systematic aging, and how cellular senescence and the antioxidant pathways go hand in hand, and how we can do better biohacking technologies and methods to help clear our innate senescence as we age. And so I have personally found intermittent fasting to be one that's helpful. But in terms of other different modalities, I'm more of a vitamin D and a multivitamin in terms of supplementation based products.
Are there any products that you think improve DNA genomic stability, like the ability of the DNA to repair itself or the ability of your DNA to have less damage other than antioxidants?
And I think that's a great field that is now up and coming, and looking at things like telomere length and telomere shortening as we age. In terms of skin senescence, there are different aspects of that we can look at. So when we want to study the idea of cellular senescence and skin senescence, how do we quantify that? So there are different markers of cellular senescence. So not one marker paints the full picture. And going along with that is the telomere-associated foci. So that's the new technology. So people used to long think that it's telomere length or telomere shortening that is the change that can be correlated with aging. But we're seeing that it's more these little changes to different telomeres that actually show more cellular senescence that we age. So in my lab, we are working on these telomere-associated foci. And for our clinical trial that we're doing right now, we are taking patients' skin biopsies and looking to see if there have been changes at that level as well.
And thus changes after what intervention? Exosomes or.
Yeah, so we have topical exosomes that we work closely with Dr. Ottava Farr, Mayo Clinic transplant cardiologist. He was a co-founder and launched the company Rion and was recently on your podcast. Great episode. You guys should check that out. So that technology is a product of 15 years of research and $150 million in funding. So, together with Mayo Clinic and Rion Aesthetics, we've put together a clinical trial in the aesthetic medicine space, and we are testing topical exosomes and their impact on skin rejuvenation.
Amazing. Do you have any ethical concerns about using stem cell therapies, or should patients have ethical concerns?
Stem cell tourism is has gained more popularity, and that occurs more at the national and international levels. So at our regenerative medicine consult service, I often hear about families that take second mortgage on their house to try to save a loved one's life, to try to chase this unique opportunity that they've heard about on the news that's taking place abroad, and they kind of go and seek these therapies. But there's a lot of ethical concerns around that, and that's the idea of stem cell tourism, and there's a lot of work that's being done to mitigate those, and nothing hurts you more than looking at a patient that has returned from one of these therapies, and that whether it's been no therapy at all that they've received, or a false advertisement, or sometimes these therapies can cause more harm than good. So, in terms of ethical concerns, I think it's really important that, this is why it goes back to seeing where the treatments are being done and doing validated treatments, making sure that they're done under FDA regulation and clinical and acquire appropriate clinical trial guidelines so that we can offer these treatments for our patients in the right way.
I definitely agree. I think the frontier is just going to explode. It's just poised and ready for regenerative medicine to become its own. Do you think it'll ever be its own specialty?
I think that it has that combination of medical and surgical specialties that go along right with it. I see it as a field that we need to, as we train our next generation physicians and scientists in this area, to be able to recognize them for that training, whether that's a regenerative medicine focused fellowship or regenerative medicine focused degrees like master's degrees and PhD degrees that are coming through. Regenerative medicine is starting to become its own field. It is starting to, at Mayo Clinic, we have an academic rank that recognizes regenerative medicine for its specialty and for its unique set of assets that come with being trained in that field. And I think going forward, as we mitigate these different stem cell tourism and patient concerns and these different treatments that are coming up, the best way to help educate our patients is to educate providers as well, and to do that with recognizing regenerative medicine as a field in its own.
Definitely. And to come up with some standards of where we can assess, like, tissue improvement. Like, if we apply a product, what parameters are we looking at to see if there was actual measurable, reproducible improvements? Because I think that's challenging in aesthetic offices across the country. Everybody does things differently. They mix and harvest PRP differently. They don't really quantify what they're doing. They administer products differently. We're using, for example, collagen biostimulators like PLLA or Sculptra, to hyperdilute Radiesse. All these products, they are doing something to the dermis and thickening the skin, but it's so rare in aesthetics to find research where we actually do punch biopsies and analyze tissue changes and histology. So I don't know. That seems like years from now where we'll have like standardized gradations and scales of improvements.
Exactly. And I think that quantitative data will speak for itself. As when we're in the field of skin aging and there's a lot of promise and a lot of different treatments, looking at what from the basic science level improves that skin epidermis, the epidermal thickening, the elastin, collagen rejuvenation that we can actually see by histology, looking at new markers of cell senescence and skin microbiome. Those are the different metrics that we need to start incorporating into our aesthetic trials and start to think about them early, so that we can have to offer more robust studies for our patients beyond quantitative measurements like questionnaires and subjective responses.
Got it. Well, this is also exciting. Where can people find you if they're interested to find out more about your thoughts on regenerative medicine and your current ongoing projects?
So I am on social media on Instagram. I am wilds.skinlab. And if you're interested in skincare related to exosomes, I would recommend platedskinscience.com. That's the Rion Aesthetics arm. And if you want to learn more about the medical applications, you can check out riontx.com.
Amazing. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I look forward to the advances in regenerative medicine and you being a pioneer out there trying to forge this into a specialty. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my skincare, Katie Skin. And I do have a stem cell growth factor lotion as well, which has credible science behind it. So check it out. It's called Transform. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.